Hi everyone, my name is Jeff. I'm a nicotine addict. Whoop whoop, 10 years today, and I always love to celebrate birthdays, whether it's mine or somebody else's, and that it's just, that much more proof that there's a higher power and I'm not it. And really glad to be a part of this program, and still a part of this program. And I find that it's the thing that it's the glue that holds me together. And I would hope to a little bit about what it was like and what happened, and certainly what it's like now. And knowing that what it's like now may not be what it's going to be like tomorrow. So, I've had leaps and bounds of spiritual growth, and then days and weeks of not going anywhere, it seems. But the whole thing is that this program is here for me and any of you when we reach out for help. And I originally grew up in Michigan, up north, where it's cold and snowy. I think there's still snow on the ground. Started my smoking career very early. I was about 9 years old when I smoked. I remember playing out in the snow in the snowbank and digging a hole just to get down inside and be able to smoke a cigarette without nobody knowing it. And it all started really with three or four of us kids in our neighborhood. I stole a pack of cigarettes from my parents and took it up in the woods. And Benson and Hedges 100s. They coughed and choked and kept trying it and couldn't do it anymore. While I'm just sitting there enjoying a cigarette, how that worked, I just don't know. I probably did cough a little bit, but I just remember thinking, this is it. And I do remember what the buzz was like, and chased that little buzz for a long time, and just never seemed to come back. And that's how it was with me, and just about anything that would alter my mood. And I look back on it now at 9 years old. Being in fourth grade, and when I see a 9-year-old, in my kids or grandkids or even great grandkids now, I just cannot fathom the idea that 9 years old is an age to start smoking. And I know I'm not the only one. I know there's other people in this program and other people not in this program yet that started at a young age. And what I found is that a lot of that smoking just stunted my. I remember being told that that's going to stunt your growth. Well, I didn't know. I thought it meant, your physical size or something, I had no clue it meant your emotional growth. And that's probably not what they meant, but it's sure what happened. Because I still at at 62 years old, find myself experiencing feelings that I should have felt as a 9, 10, 11, 12 year old kid, and recognizing it, being able to recognize, oh yeah, that. And I had no clue that that's what was going on with me, but and so I and when I turned 10, I pretty much had to make my own money to buy my own school clothes, and I used it to buy my own cigarettes too, 25 cents a pack, and if I wasn't stealing them and buying them, I was borrowing them, and the way I borrowed cigarettes was I never really paid them back anyway, so and it was just, and it seemed like everybody smoked, and it seemed like that was the thing to do, and I got caught up in it at such a young age that it just seemed like, you know, that was the answer to everything, and that's what it was for me for a while. I was really raised in an alcoholic family, and you know, just a lot of dysfunction and things going on, and it seemed like smoking a cigarette helped me. I would be upstairs in my bedroom in the wintertime, cracking open the window, just to see if the wind was blowing just right, because if it was, it allowed me to just crack the window and smoke a cigarette. If it was blowing wrong, I couldn't smoke a cigarette then. And it drove me nuts. I'd have to find another window or go outside at 10 o'clock at night and you know, do whatever I had to do to get a cigarette. And I remember this at 10, 11, and 12 years old. It just seemed to be, you got to do what you got to do. But as time went on, you know, I made it through, barely made it through high school. And drinking, of course, was 18 in Michigan at the time. So, I barely made it through high school, and it seemed like drinking coffee, smoking cigarettes, and getting drunk was a thing to do. And or just coffee and cigarettes, or getting drunk and having a cigarette. Anything I was doing, it seemed like having a cigarette was involved. And even at that young age, and I got really out of control with my drinking, and wound up in a Marine Corps recruiter's office when I was 18, and I was in there drunk and signed up, and I was gone in a week because I felt like my life was falling apart and I had to do something. You know, all the kids I went to high school with seemed to be either getting married or joining the service, going to college. They were doing something with their life, and I was not. All I was doing was getting drunk and smoking cigarettes. And so, needless to say, here I am in boot camp, and they wanted me to run a mile. And, you know, by then I had already smoked for 9 years, and I'll never forget that first mile. It just about killed me. And, I did whatever I had to do to not fall behind, because, it was a Vietnam era boot camp that back then. And, I didn't like seeing what happened to those guys that were falling behind. So I did what I could and made it through boot camp. But one of the things I remembered though was that there were about four or five times in boot camp where they called all the smokers out to smoke cigarettes, and it was sort of like a reward, you know, for those that smoke. Here you go. And we'd have to smoke about three cigarettes in 5 minutes, because that was the time that we had. Everything that we did in Marine Corps boot camp, we had to be do in a hurry. And three cigarettes in 5 minutes was really tough to take. But there, any good smoker knows if you're gonna smoke one and there's an opportunity, you might as well smoke three. And that's what I did. And the insanity of it all, I just was nowhere near realizing the insanity of it all. And then I commenced to starting out a military career, and everything I did involved a cigarette. I remember I was just telling some friends the other day that I'd be running 3 miles, helping, you know, some of the guys that need to run to lose weight or just to pass a physical fitness test. They needed to run, and I was out there to help them, and I'd be running backwards for 3 miles, you know, rooting them on, encouraging them as much as possible and motivating them as much as possible. Running backwards for 3 miles, and I'd be smoking a cigarette. And I really thought, you know, my cigarettes weren't bothering me at all. And I wasn't running any 15-minute 3 mile, but I was running and doing better than most. So, and it was crazy things like that that I would do to just, you know, really, I would look back on it and say, well, smoking's not bothering me, you know. Might be bothering other people, but it's not bothering me. And I spent a total of 27 years in the military, and I wound up you know, really struggling those last few times I ran, just because I couldn't catch my breath. I couldn't do what I had done before. And so it, with that regard, with that in mind, I really, that was well after the fact that, or after the time where I started to quit. I remember back in 1992, I was down at Camp Pendleton, California, and I was trying to get sober, and I was going to every 12-step group I could possibly go to. I remember I was going to AA and NA and Al-Anon and Codependence Anonymous, and there was ACA, and there was a men's self-esteem workshop I went to every week, and an inner child workshop with a therapist I did all every once a week, and it seemed like everywhere I went, I was relating to everybody. I was starting to feel for the first time, because I was really completely shut off in terms of my feelings. If I had to go out and run 10 miles to avoid feeling something, I would do it. And now I'm faced with, you know, good 20 years of not feeling, and I can't hold them down anymore. And it didn't matter where it was, cigarettes couldn't hold them down anymore. And I remember driving down the road and seeing a Nicotine Anonymous sign where there was a meeting. And I remember thinking, I can't do another 12-step fellowship. I am crazy as a loon right now. I almost killed myself. I wanted to kill myself for a while. And it was just an inner civil war going on with me. It was a life was a crisis, and the only thing that I could really hang on to were my cigarettes. I couldn't get totally honest in any of those 12-step programs I went to. I couldn't get totally honest with any therapist I was working with. Life was a crisis, and I couldn't stay sober. It took me 6 years to get to the point where I had my last drunk, and all of it was based in fear. I can look back at it now and say that all of it was based in fear. And it wasn't until such time as I started to get honest with myself and other people in that program, in the program I needed to be in, not the one that I thought I needed to be in, that I started to see that, there is a solution, and there is a higher power, and I'm not it. And I'm forever grateful that I finally got to that point in my life where it was like, okay, God, if you're there, help me. I asked for help on a regular basis, and learned some principles that got me to not only my last drunk, but also got me to learn to live life on life's terms as much as I possibly could. Now, what that also did, though, was I found, and I can look back at it now and say that I took my 1 to 2 packs a day and added a pack to that for at least 6 months until I started to feel comfortable. The emotional turmoil I was going through, the only thing I could do was rely on a cigarette. It's the thing that was always there for me. I finally got into a mindset where I really needed to quit. I went to go into smoking cessation programs, and I would go for 6 weeks and get some patches and try to take all the tips and tricks to quit smoking and apply them, they wouldn't last 3 or 4 days. I could not get nicotine free to save my rear end at all. I started to get to that point where, what's the use in quitting? I can't quit. I've tried so many times. It's impossible. And I wound up, just adding to my list of lies I told myself that made it okay to smoke. Just continued and continued and continued for another 12 years. What happened for me was, I found myself out in my driveway, and I was bent over. I couldn't breathe. I thought I was having a heart attack or a stroke or something. And I called the ambulance, and there's a hospital that's about 5 miles away. And so called the ambulance, and it's really something to be looking out the back between your feet and see the road in the back out the back of the ambulance, and know deep in your heart that the only reason you're there is because of your smoking. And and then to be told at the hospital they can't find anything, your lungs sound okay, everything else seems to be okay, nothing we can do for you. And then to walk out and have a cigarette right after that. And that's just, what I did was I took that embarrassing event in my life, and I went and got a second opinion from my doctor on the base, and my wife went with me, and both of us had tried to quit over the years, and it just didn't seem to work there either, Either she would quit or I would try to quit, and back and forth. And then if we both quit at the same time, it was just then it winds up in an argument as to who's going to go to the store and get the cigarettes first, But we both went to the doctor, and then she breaks down crying, and I sort of break down a little bit, and we need help. We want to quit smoking. And one more time, it was a sincere, cry for help. I got a prescription, and stayed away from the patches. I knew they didn't work. They didn't smoke very well. I never could seem to put them on when I needed to. So those didn't work. And then I just stuck with what worked. And we both set a quit date. And it was the same. We both quit on the same day. We give ourselves some space. Tried not to get, too emotionally caught up in something. And then for me, I was going to AA meetings where they smoke, those first couple of days, I saw very clearly how hard it is to go to an AA meeting where they smoke, and I am asking for help to not smoke. I really asked my higher power, more sincere than I ever had, to help me to not only quit, but to stay quit. And not only to stay quit, but to help me not get angry. Because those two things were the sure thing to get me to smoke. And I could get wrapped up in something, pissed off about something, in a heartbeat. I was really wrapped tight. And here I am, at the time, 14 years sober, being spiritual, helping people in another program, and I'm freaking out here. Serenity wasn't there. My higher power was, though, and I was reaching out in ways I never had before. And I started to see after about 3 or 4 days, which was about the time that I couldn't get past, that I was trusting in my higher power more this time, a whole lot more. Because I really, you know, I sort of had this belief that I'm not going to be okay if I can't smoke. Life is just not going to be okay if I can't smoke. And I need it. I may want it. I may be good now, but I know the time is going to come and I'm going to have to smoke. And as each day passed, it seemed to get easier and easier. And I didn't have anything else to hang on to except my higher power and started to develop this belief that I was going to be okay. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be a cakewalk. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. But I'm going to be okay. And I think it was on that basis where I came to believe that my higher power could restore me to sanity. And after a couple of weeks, I started to, you know, really feel good about it, that my higher power was there for me this time. And it just sort of grew out from there. At about 6 weeks into this last quit, I started to get on the internet and look for Smokers Anonymous, and I found Nicotine Anonymous. And as soon as I did, on those first pages that I ran into, I started to get feel a hope that I never really had before, that I was really going to do it this time, that there is a support group out there and I'm going to jump into it with both feet. And I did. I got involved in meetings on the telephone and got involved in the unofficial Nicanon group online. And then I muddled through the computer problems to get on to Vana. And then eventually got a hold of somebody to get a meeting started in our area. Just sort of grew from there. And ever since then, I have been involved in service in some way, either on the phone or online. I'm mostly on the phone, though. And then eventually with the intergroup and later on with World Services. But it was, I knew for me that if I'm going to be successful in a program of recovery, I have to do the work and leave the results up to my higher power. I got to do the legwork and leave the results up to God. And if I'm not doing that, I'm not trusting in that higher power. So, and I continue, even to this day sometimes, I fall short, and as most of us human doings are, and take it back and then let go, and take it back and let go once in a while. But, you know, I finally, after about, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, feeling really grateful and free that I don't have to participate in all the insanity that goes with my smoking. I started to get involved in the Intergroup and World Services out here in Southern California. And now I would have to drive 2.5 hours just to go to a 1 hour intergroup meeting down in LA, and then drive 2.5 hours to come back. And it was, when I did things like that, it really proved to me how dedicated I was to do something like that, how dedicated I was to this program, and how dedicated I was to not smoking ever again. And I don't know if that's what's going to happen with me, but boy, there was a time, I remember this, that all I could do was get to a meeting and get to a meeting late and leave the meeting early. Do I help in setting up chairs or making coffee? Oh, hell no. I'm just there to feel my way around and then leave as soon as I possibly can. Was I willing to go to any length at that time? No. But I found that it's the willingness and being honest with myself and other people, and trying to have a little bit of an open mind that has made all the difference in the world to me. And I still, I'm still a work in progress. I still find myself learning things about my emotions, things that my reaction to life as it occurs, do the best I can with what I have. And what I have is a whole lot more than what I had before. And I'm so grateful for that. There's people in this program that have literally saved my butt. And sometimes it's just a matter of sharing something that resonates with me, and it's like, yo, yeah, I can relate to that, you know. The real miracle of being free from nicotine for me is that not only am I free from nicotine, my wife is still free too, and it's like, my gosh, our lives have completely changed ever since we smoked. And it's and I want to say that it's always been for the better or something, but that's not how life works. There's always something that's going to try to rock the boat and or tip it over. And it's not going to be smooth seas every day. And there's always things I need to learn to accept. There's always things I need to talk to other addicts about. And there's always an opportunity for spiritual growth. And usually when I find myself resisting, and I know I'm not alone when I say this, we know when we are resisting something or somebody. We feel it. And especially if we're not smoking, we feel it. It's that resistance to change that I always had, that, by the grace of a higher power, I no longer have so much of that today. And anyway, I'm glad everybody's here, and thank you so much for helping me celebrate my 10-year anniversary free from nicotine today. Thank you so much. Go ahead, Kenny.